The fluorescent light in the shared kitchen doesn't hum, it screams. It is a high-pitched electric whine that vibrates in my teeth. I stand over a pot of instant noodles. I am 32 years old. I am a registered nurse at one of the busiest hospitals in Melbourne. And I am currently calculating if I can afford a second egg. The steam hits my face. It feels like a cheap facial. I check my phone. It is 10 p.m. here. In Bangkok, it is 6 p.m., the golden hour, the time when my mother sits on the porch and the heat finally starts to break. My thumb hovers over the banking app. I know the numbers by heart. I have $400 left in my account. Rent for my bunk bed is due on Monday. That is $200. The remaining $200 is supposed to last me 2 weeks. I look at the transfer button. My sister, Noe, needs her tuition for the final semester. My brother, Chai, needs new books for his engineering course. My mother needs her blood pressure medication. I press the button. $300 disappears. It travels under the ocean, through fiber optic cables, and lands in a Thai bank account in seconds. I have $100 left. I put the egg back in the carton. I will eat it tomorrow. I take my bowl of noodles and walk to my room. It isn't a room. It is a partitioned corner of a three-bedroom apartment. There are six of us living here. All nurses, all Thai, all ghosts. I climb into the bottom bunk. The plywood creaks. The curtains I hung up for privacy are thin, but they are all I have. I set my laptop on my knees. I fix my hair. I put on a smile that I have practiced for 6 years. I dial. My mother's face fills the screen. She is glowing. Behind her, I can see the new tile floor I paid for last Christmas. I can see the high-end rice cooker I sent for her birthday. She tells me I look tired. I tell her it is just the hospital lighting. I tell her I am working so much because they offered me a promotion. I lie and say I went out for a steak dinner with friends tonight. She laughs. She tells me how proud she is. She tells me that Noi is the top of her class. She says the neighbors all talk about the daughter in Australia, the success story, the girl who made it. I look at the stain on my pillowcase. I look at the pile of laundry I have to wash in the bathtub because the building's machine is broken again. I am the neon matriarchy. I am the foundation of a house I will never live in. I am the provider for a family that doesn't know I live in a box. The call ends. The silence in the bunk is heavy. It smells like damp carpet and old spices. I lie back and stare at the slats of the bed above me. My shift starts at 6 a.m. I will stand on my feet for 12 hours. I will clean wounds. I will monitor vitals. I will hold the hands of dying strangers. I will do it all so I can send 70% of my soul across the sea. I used to have dreams about Australia. I thought I would go to the beach every weekend. I thought I would have a small apartment with a balcony and a plant. I thought I would meet someone. Instead, I have a bunk bed. I have a bus pass. I have a cupboard with six packs of noodles and a jar of chili flakes. I am not a person. I am a transaction. The girl in the bunk above me, Sunny, comes home. I hear her boots hit the floor. She is crying. I don't ask why. I know why. Her father probably called asking for a new motorbike. Or her aunt needs surgery. We don't talk about it. To talk about it is to make it real. If we keep the secret, we keep the pride. I close my eyes. I try to imagine the graduation ceremony in Bangkok. I see Noi in her gown. I see her holding that degree. I see her walking into a bright office with air conditioning. She won't have to send money. I will make sure of it. I will carry the weight until my back breaks so she can stand tall. That is the deal. That is the unspoken contract of the eldest daughter. I wake up before the sun. The apartment is cold. The heater is a luxury we voted to skip this month. I dress in the dark. My scrubs are faded, but they are clean. I pin my name tag to my chest. Registered nurse. It sounds like a title of power. In the hospital, people listen to me. Doctors ask for my opinion. Patients rely on my care. I am a professional. I am an essential worker in a first world nation. Then I walk to the bus stop in the rain. I count the coins in my pocket. I realize I forgot to pack my noodles for lunch. That means I will have to buy something. $6 for a sandwich. $6 that could have bought 3 days of medication for my mother. The guilt is a physical weight. It sits in my stomach like a stone. The hospital is a blur of white corridors and beeping machines. I am assigned to the surgical ward today. It is heavy work, lifting patients, turning them. My lower back starts to ache by 10 a.m. I see a woman in bed 4. She is around my age. She is Australian. Her husband is sitting by her side. He is reading her a book. They are laughing about a vacation they took to Bali. I wonder what it feels like to spend money on a memory, to buy a plane ticket just to sit on a beach, to look at a paycheck and think about what you want, rather than what they need. I check her IV drip. I smile at them. They see a kind, efficient nurse. They don't see the bunk bed. They don't see the 70%. At lunch, I sit in the break room. I drink water to stop the hunger pangs. My phone buzzes. It is a text from Chai. He sent a photo of a laptop. The old one died. I can't finish my project. Is there any way? I look at the price tag in the link he sent. $1,200. I feel a cold shiver. $1,200 is my entire emergency fund. It is the money I have been saving for 3 years in case I get sick, in case I get fired, in case I need to fly home for a funeral. I type, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." I delete it. I type, "I can't right now, Chai. Things are tight." I delete that too. If I say no, the house of cards falls. If he fails his project, he loses his scholarship. If he loses his scholarship, the last 4 years were for nothing. My 4 years in a bunk bed were for nothing. I send the money. I take it from the emergency savings. Now I have nothing. I am one accident away from being on the street. The shift ends at 7 p.m. I stayed late to help with an emergency admission. Extra overtime. That will help. Maybe I can put $50 back into the savings next month. The bus ride home is long. I watch the lights of Melbourne flicker past. This city is beautiful. It is wealthy. It is full of people who are building lives. I am not building a life. I am maintaining a monument. When I get back to the apartment, there is a notice on the door. The rent is going up. Inflation. The 2026 rental crisis is hitting everyone, even the ghosts in the partitions. An extra $50 a week. I sit on the floor of the kitchen. The light is still screaming. I do the math. If I stop eating lunch, if I walk to the hospital instead of taking the bus, if I work double shifts every weekend, I can make it work. I have to make it work. I hear the shower running. One of the other girls is getting ready for the night shift. We are like cogs in a machine. We rotate. We never overlap for long. I go to my bunk. I pull the curtain. I look at the photo of my family on the wall. They look so happy. They look so healthy. I realize then that they don't know me. They know the version of me I sell them. They know the ATM. They know the savior. They don't know that I have a hole in my shoe. They don't know that I haven't bought a new shirt in 2 years. They don't know that I am lonely. Sometimes I want to scream into the phone. I want to tell them that it's too hard. I want to tell them to sell the house and the rice cooker and the tiles. I want to tell them to let me come home. But I can't, because if I go home, I am just another girl with no future. Here, I am a god. A month passes, then two. Chai graduates. He sends me a video of him walking across the stage. He is wearing the suit I bought him. He looks like a prince. My mother is crying in the front row. She looks at the camera and blows a kiss. Thank you, daughter, she mouths. I am sitting in the hospital cafeteria when I watch it. I have $3 in my pocket. I am wearing a cardigan I found in the free bin at the community center. I feel a surge of pride. It is a hot, sharp feeling. I did it. I got him across the line. The matriarchy has succeeded. But as the video ends, the pride fades. It leaves behind a hollow space. Chai calls me an hour later. Sis, I got a job offer. I smile. That's amazing, Chai. Where? It's an internship in Japan, he says. It's a great opportunity, but the cost of living in Tokyo is so high. I was thinking, maybe for the first 6 months, you could help me out. Just until I get my first raise? The silence on my end is long. I look at my hands. They are cracked from the hospital soap. They are shaking. I don't know, Chai, I whisper. But you always have it, he says. His voice is light. He isn't being mean. He truly believes I am infinite. You're the success story. You're in Australia. I look around the cafeteria. I see the waste. I see the wealth. I see the distance between his reality and mine. I'll see what I can do, I say. I hang up. I walk to the bathroom. I lock the door. I lean against the cold tiles, and I finally cry. I cry for the girl who wanted to see the beach. I cry for the woman who lives in a bunk bed. I cry because I have spent 6 years building a bridge to nowhere. I realize the power flip has happened. I thought I was the one in control, because I held the money. But the money doesn't belong to me. I am just the pipes. I am the plumbing. If I stop, the bridge breaks. If I continue, I disappear. I wash my face. I check my reflection. Registered nurse, I have a shift to finish. I have a family to feed. I have a bunk bed waiting for me. I walk back out into the ward. I pick up a chart. I find a smile. I am the neon matriarchy, and the lights are always on.